Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, we are beginning our focus in verse 15, but I want to remind you of what he has just written beginning back in verse 10. We'll focus our study beginning in verse 15. This is God's word. "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Paul is telling the believers there in Philippi that we're in a race and we need to be straining toward what is ahead. When you're running a race, and I've never been a great runner, I was fairly fast in college, but I wasn't on the team. But I do know a little bit about running, and I know that when you're running, you have to have a destination that you're going toward. You don't just kind of go out and run a while and see, you know, where you end up. You have a course marked out for you. And when you are running that race, you keep your focus on the end game. You keep your focus on where you want to end up. And so Paul tells us, even as he told the folks in Philippi, that they need to be straining, that is, exerting all their energy toward that goal. All of us, verse 15, who are mature should take such a view of things. This is not a description of what super Christians do. He calls all of us to run so as to get the prize. You know, there are in our culture increasingly prizes for participation. Okay? You know, oh, you're here. Let's go ahead and put your star on the wall today. That is not the way life is. And it's not what God calls us to. God calls us to discipline, not so that we can go to heaven, but because of what he has done for us. We are to run the race with endurance. We are to run the race so as to win. We are to strain toward the mark to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of us. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Oh, okay. Well, that now I found my loophole. Now I found my cop-out. It says all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. It, you know, I'm not mature. You know, I'll own it. I'm not mature. Well, grow up. Grow up. When I was a little kid, my older siblings used to say to me, stop acting your age. Now, some people have an expression, start acting your age, okay? Don't act like you're younger than you are. If you are 10, you shouldn't be acting like a 2-year-old, right? We all understand that. But how do you make it so that 10-year-olds don't act like 2-year-olds? You have to teach a 2-year-old, don't act that way. Don't do that. Grow up. Now, we don't behead people for being 2 years old. That's an expected stage of development. But we don't expect people to stay that way. And so if you're thinking, well, because it says those who are mature should take such a view of things, I'm just starting out. Okay, great. Now, if you're just starting out, focus on the goal and strain toward the mark. Run the race, okay? Run the race. Don't just stand still and don't go meandering off looking for other things. You should be focused. And if on some point you think differently, Paul says, that too God will make clear to you. In other words, you may not agree with me right now. Remember, he isn't just writing a letter. He's writing the New Testament. He's writing the Bible. God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking through him. And so Paul says with apostolic authority, look, if at some point you think differently, God will fix that. Why does Paul have such confidence? Because Paul isn't making this stuff up. Paul is speaking the word of God. There are people who find it very off-putting that I often say things dogmatically. Well, I hope that I'm only dogmatic about what God says, okay? There are definitely things that are a matter of interpretation, but there are some things that are just plain, straightforward truth. And if you can't accept the truth plainly stated in Scripture, raises real questions about whether or not you really are following Jesus as your Lord, as your master. Well, but Christians do have disagreements with each other sometimes, right? Yes, correct. Okay, so what's the cure? The cure is what Paul said. Ask the Lord. You want to know the truth? You're not sure if the person's interpretation is correct? Ask God. God has promised that if you keep on seeking, you'll find. If you keep on knocking, the door will be opened. If you keep asking, you'll receive. There have been things where, I couldn't figure out what God was saying. And I prayed, and he immediately showed me. There have been other things when I just couldn't tell what God was saying, and I prayed. And it took a while, but God began to show me. What I can guarantee based on God's word is if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all who want to do his will. But you mustn't be double-minded, or you're not going to get any direction from God, because God isn't interested in just giving you his input so that you can decide if that's what you want to do. God gives direction to those who are committed to doing whatever God says. So, if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Once God shows you something, obey. Do what he's shown you. So many stories come to mind, but a person in our church on Cape Cod, sweet person, I'm still friends with this person, called me and said, Pastor, I need you to pray that the Lord will show me which of these two jobs I should take. And I said, well, you've asked the Lord? Yes, I've been asking the Lord, and I don't get any direction. And I said, well, there are two possibilities I want to suggest to you. Number one is the fact that God may not want you to do either of those two jobs. God might have something else for you. And if you go to God and you say, which of these two jobs should I do? You're kind of playing God. You're saying, I'm willing to do this and I'm willing to do this. But those are your options, God. Tell me which of these two things I should do. And God may have another plan for you. And I said, but the other thing is this. If you're not getting direction from God on something you're really praying about, you need to consider, is there anything God has shown you that you need to do and you haven't obeyed? And she said, well, I don't see what that has to do with it. And I said, what came to your mind when I said that? And she said, well, I've known for a while that the New Testament teaches that when you become a Christian, you ought to be baptized. And but I don't really feel ready for that. And I said, let me be sure I understand this. You believe the New Testament says you ought to do this, but you don't feel ready for that. And so you're not doing what God has already told you to do. Why should God tell you something else to do when you're not doing what he's already told you to do? She said, you really think that that may be the problem? I said, absolutely. Okay. She got baptized, and God gave her a better job than either of those two. So, Pastor, what are you saying, that the way to get a better job is to get baptized? No, I'm saying God loves you. He loves you so much he sent his son to die for you. When he tells you to do something, why would you not feel like obeying? Maybe because your feelings are not supposed to be your guide. God's word is supposed to be your guide. So once you know what God wants you to do, obey.
Psalm 145 says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Have you heard about Legacy 145? This program gives you an opportunity to provide a safe haven for future generations of children at Ware's Valley Ranch. While at the ranch, children from all across the country have their practical needs met. But most importantly, they hear about a Heavenly Father who loves them so much that he sent his only Son to die on the cross to pay for their sins. Healing and hope are found at the ranch through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your legacy can continue that message to children in crisis. You can learn more at wvr.org. Click on the Legacy 145 button. That's wvr.org. And click on the icon that says Legacy 145. Or you can give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. God bless you, and have a great day.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, let us live up to what we've already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Join with others in following my example. Paul doesn't say, I don't want you to imitate me. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. We've given you a pattern to follow. You ought to be looking to see who's following the pattern. And then join with them as they live according to the pattern we gave you. Paul gave the Christians a way to live. He didn't just give them certain things to believe. He taught them how to live in this world. For as I've often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. There are many people, including, he's talking about, within those who call themselves Christians. Many don't follow the pattern we gave you. Don't follow the apostolic example. Instead, they live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. It's not going to end well for them. It's not an alternate path. Those who are refusing to submit to the authority of God's word are not taking a more winding path. They're on the wrong road. He says their destiny is destruction. If you go off the bridge over the canyon, it's not, well, I wouldn't do it. Who am I to judge? It's a canyon. There's a bridge. If you go off the bridge, you're going to die. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, that seems narrow. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Verse 18 again. For as I've often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, Paul's not gloating about the destruction of these people. Paul is weeping about the destruction of these people. I now say this again, even with tears. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. That should move us. Their God is their stomach. What does that mean? They are devoted to doing what makes them feel good. That's why you don't want to try and discern God's will on the basis of fleshly desires. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. We live in a world right now where people are eager for others to celebrate wicked things that they do. They glorify sin. They celebrate evil. Their glory is in shameful things. Let me just tell you something. We need to stop celebrating sin as if it's good. If somebody is trying to make sin look good, whether it is a movie, a TV show, a magazine, a book, a story somebody's telling you, whatever it is, if the way that sin is portrayed is as a good thing, a desirable thing, that is straight out of the pit. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. They're living as if this life is all we've got. This world is all we have. The earth is our mother. No, it's not. God is your creator, and you're going to die and stand before him and answer. Your only hope is in Jesus Christ. So, Paul says, many people live that way. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, first of all, do you see yourself, Christian, as a citizen of heaven? Is that where your sense of belonging is? When our oldest child was just a preschooler, and I'd taken him with me to Canada to be on a television program up there, and we were in the airport, and this older lady looked at our son with his braces and crutches and thought he was adorable, because he was. And she said, "Where is your home?" And he, without missing a beat, he just answered from his heart. He said, "Heaven." He wasn't trying to be clever. He wasn't trying to be funny. He was speaking out of the abundance of his heart. Because when you're a preschooler who keeps having to have surgery, who has to wear braces and use crutches in order to be able to try and walk a little bit, when that's the way life is for you here, it is very comforting to know that this world is not our home, and that this life is not all there is, and that God has destined us for something far better. So, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, does that describe you? Are you eagerly looking forward to the second coming of Christ? If you would rather that Jesus wait a little while, you need to repent. There is only one reason why the Lord is delaying the second coming of Christ. And that is 2 Peter chapter 3, to give more opportunity for people to repent. Your longing should be for him to come. And if you want to hasten that day, you need to be doing what you can to support the spread of the gospel. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, don't forget that. The God we're waiting on is not a God who's trying to build up some strength and, you know, get more support so that he can make this thing work. He already has all power and all authority. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. And listen to what he's going to do with it. He will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. God's going to make you more amazing than you can imagine. Why would he do that? Because he loves you. The devil wants you to believe that God is against you. He's been using the same lie on humans throughout our entire history, trying to get us to believe that God is somehow against us. If God was against us, there wouldn't be any hope. But God is rich in mercy. And even when we rebelled against him and became spiritually dead, God chose to save us. Stop running from him. If you are God's child, you are dearly loved. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God, knows God. The one who doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. God has proved his love for us by sending his son. When we were his enemies, when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Trust him. Obey him. He loves you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's That's pastorwood.org.